Hi, friends. Welcome to the Bite Size Bible podcast. I'm Laura Bentley, and so glad that you're taking the time to listen to this podcast. Today, we have a big question that we're going to try again to dive into with nuance and thoughtfulness in under 10 minutes. And that question is, who do I listen to? So whenever we are looking at a Bible passage or a book or the whole Bible or trying to grow in our faith or be challenged in our faith, how do we know which voices we should listen to and follow? So I'm joined by another wonderful member of the Westminster staff, Emily Shubilla, and I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, friends. I am Emily, and I'm the volunteer coordinator here. I've only been here for about 4 months. It has been a wonderful experience so far. I have loved joining friends on mission projects and doing some hands-on things with the members here, and also getting to know everyone. I have a background in education and some other background in working with children and youth in ministry, so I'm excited to continue my path of ministry wherever it goes. So having a great time here.
I also think you might have gone the world record between the first time ever listening to a podcast and the first time ever being on a podcast as a guest.
That is true. So I am not a podcast listener. My husband is. So the first podcast I listened to in full was the Bite Size Bible podcast. So now I'm on it. So I'm really trying to just get the full experience of podcasting.
It's great. So just to begin taking a bite out of this big question of who to listen to, I wanted to start with just some of the, what I think of almost as filters that we put on as we're trying to look through, whether it's devotions or in your past children's curriculum, things like that, that we're offering either to other people to be able to understand their faith better or for our own personal growth and understanding of who God is. So I was going to start by offering just a couple of the sort of filters that I turn on as I'm trying to scroll down the Google searches or at a bookstore looking at things. The biggest one for me is what in like seminary speak would be high Christology. And basically what that means is that whenever I am approaching an author or podcast or someone that I'm going to listen to speaking into my faith, I want to make sure that whatever that thing is that I'm interacting with scripture has the lens of Christ on it. So there are many ways to read the Bible. I think one of the most common ways to read it is sort of as a flat text where everything has equal weight and meaning. I instead read it, and what it means to have a high Christology is to read it through the lens of Christ, that Jesus is the best, the as Hebrews would put it, the perfect imprint of who God is. And so being able to read something through the lens of Christ would mean that those things in scripture that we wrestle with that don't look the same as how Christ loved and how he walked the earth, that what I'm reading will wrestle with that and try to sort of hash out, like, what does it look like for this to be one God that Jesus reveals to us? I know that's a complicated answer. In like normal terms, this means that the person writing would have humility, that they'd be focused on grace, that they would be a person that is extending the table broader through their writing. What are some of the filters that you put on?
One of the most important ones for me is definitely inclusion and inclusive languages. You know, marginalized people are some of the people that I think that we need to love the hardest. Not that there needs to be levels of love, because I don't think that that exists either. I don't think you can love harder or better. I think love is love. And I think that that's important to keep in mind when you're reading different authors and reading different things, just to make sure that they have that in mind as well. And definitely grace-filled and love-centered as well. Like, I want something that sounds, and it doesn't have to be a good feel-good story, but I want to come out of it feeling like I've accomplished something, that I've grown closer to Christ and not just read a bunch of words on a page. I want something that I can take away and say, oh, wow, this is what I learned, and I feel good about it. So I think that love-centeredness is very important to me.
Yeah. you talked about the, like, marginal, the people kind of leading us to love people on the margins better, and not that, like, you know, that at the expense of loving others. But I do think there's a term, mostly from liberation theology, of God's preferential treatment of the poor, and that those that are ignored, we have to put extra effort into not ignoring as Christians. And so I think it's really important, too, to seek out authors who are in marginalized groups or speak with marginalized groups in mind. And so I challenge myself whenever I'm getting into the pulpit that I have read or listened to the words of people of color, that there are other women that are that I've invited into the sermons that I'm writing, that there are folks who are gay or trans or non-binary, or those groups that have kind of not had a loud voice within the church in the past. I think it's really important to be able to learn from with intentionality. So thinking about the voices that have impacted us the most, I wanted to invite you to name some names. We can name drop in this a little bit to encourage people to check out some different authors and maybe find someone new.
Well, before I name drop authors and people like that, I think I'm going to just name drop my grandmother. I think that my grandmother, as many grandmothers are an influential voice in your faith. And my grandmother was definitely a person who read stories to me. And even if they weren't necessarily God stories, they were godly. And, you know, sitting on grandma's lap definitely brought me closer to God, because I know her relationship was so great with Jesus. So that's my one that's, you know, heart close to my heart. Do you have anyone like that?
My grandma's on there too. Yeah. And grandma's listening, man, you probably are that already, but those who grandmother, grandfather, mother, father in the church are some of the biggest voices. And to recognize that, I mean, we do this whenever a baby's baptized, right? That we ask the congregation to walk alongside that child and that family as they grow in faith. And like to take that really seriously, because the voices that you hear when you are young really impact you for better or for worse. Whether you are able to like grow on that foundation and build on it, or you have to deconstruct it later. So yeah, speak words of love to kids in your life. That's a really good sidebar on this.
They will hear you and they listen. And it's a very important sidebar. But to get back to some popular, famous people, some of my favorite authors are definitely Rachel Held Evans and Brené Brown. They have a variety of books that I wouldn't say are religious texts in that they're not commentaries or they're not devotionals, but they are books with that Christ lens. And I think that all of their books have kind of helped me grow in my faith, of just giving me a different perspective of the ways that I can read and understand the Bible and read and just understand my own religion and faith.
Nice. I had Rachel Held Evans down too. I started reading her books in my 20s, and they were really, really impactful to me. I also put down more recently for me, and if you come to Westminster, you've heard us name drop Amy Jill Levine in sermons, both Joe and I. She is an Orthodox Jewish scholar of the New Testament and has done a lot of incredible work just bringing to life what first century Judaism looked like, that Jesus was a part of, was a rabbi within, and a lot of work in helping Christians understand the ways that our language and the way that we unpack the gospel narratives has negatively in the past impacted Jewish people, and still can if we're not careful about how we unpack those texts. So Amy Jill Levine is awesome. You'll hear upcoming, we're going to be doing a series on Acts, and Willie James Jennings has like the best commentary on Acts. And so if you want to read along as we do that sermon series, we're going to be pulling a lot from Jennings. He's also someone, as we talk about grace, inclusion, humility, those type of aspects, as a pastor, he really leans in, or as a pastoral voice, I guess I would say, he really leans into that, even though he's a scholar. I've also, we're recording this the week that Pope Francis passed away, and I remember years ago, I read his, I guess, it's in a book form. I don't know if it was originally a series of sermons or an encyclical or what it's called, but The Joy of the Gospel was, like, it's so good. And so reaching outside of our tradition, I think, can be really helpful too. To name drop a couple other things, Working Preacher is a great website and podcast that you can find specific commentaries by scholars and pastors on particular texts. The Salt Project is awesome, and Pulpit Fiction is awesome. So those are, like, some of the ones that I reach for. And I think the biggest thing to me, and Emily really nailed this with being able to filter things through the lens of love, my biggest question with reading something, listening to something, is whether or not it is showing the fruit of the Spirit in us and in other people. So is this something that when you read it, when you listen to it, brings out more anger, or does it bring out more grace? Is it something that leads you to broaden the table of who's included and who you are called to be compassionate to, or is it something that narrows it more? And there are a ton of authors and a ton of podcasts and a ton of things that can do that and deepen and broaden our faith. So go out and find some good community beyond just the in-person community of different voices in your lives. We went over this time, but thanks for hanging in. I so appreciate Emily coming on.
Yeah, and I just encourage you to read all of the things, see all of the things, and decide what's best for you, because it's important to diversify, to put yourself out there, to get a little uncomfortable, so you can find what makes you closer to Jesus.